Hey everyone, Ben here. Due to some unforeseen circumstances, we're going to have to recast a few episodes from last year over the next 5 days. And one of my favorite episodes or series that we did was with Mikey Tai when we looked at Ecclesiastes. So stay with us today as we look at some ancient wisdom that has such contemporary value for us as we look at it, and such a helpful reminder in how it points us to Jesus. So thanks for joining us, and we hope you enjoy this mini series in Ecclesiastes. Hey guys, welcome back to Navigate. Our hope here is to help you engage with who God is and what God has done. My name is Ben, and I'm joined this week by Mikey Tai, pastor at Providence Church, Brisbane. Today, we're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes 5, 10 to 20, and today's passage looks at wisdom and the desire for money and how we understand money. As we work through this passage, we hope it's refreshing and challenging wherever you are. Here's what God's word says. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners, except to feast their eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when they have children, there is nothing left for them to inherit. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands. This too is a grievous evil. And as everyone comes, so they depart. And what do they gain since they toil for the wind? All their days they eat in darkness, with great frustration, affliction, and anger. This is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift from God. They seldom reflect on their days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart. So I'm joined with Mikey, and we're going to look over this passage. Hey, Mikey, welcome again.
Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Good, thank you. It's so good that we can push through this, and it's been a great... I've enjoyed looking at Ecclesiastes and being reminded of wisdom. We've seen some great topics. If you've missed any of the previous episodes, let us encourage you to have a look at them. But this one, he does hit in on wisdom and money and how we understand money. So let's push into that.
Yeah, I think it's been really confronting, hasn't it? Like, we've looked at how... as human beings, we're looking for purpose in life. We're looking for pleasure. We're looking for control of the time, even. And now we're looking at our love for money. And it's so real, isn't it? Because all these topics are so human.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we live for, or many of us do. And we're hoping that it will fulfill us. But we keep coming back to that word meaningless, or havel in the Hebrew, which is fleeting. It's temporary. It's like a mist, or like a vapor. We see it and then it disappears. And I think this passage on money really confronts us with that truth. I mean, let's start. Whoever loves money never has enough. Like, that idea that we're always wanting more. Like, we can have our bank accounts full of money, but we still are hustling hard because we just feel anxious that we don't have enough. We're never content with what we have. And he continues on, and he talks about how even if you do have the money, what are you going to do with it? You're just going to look at it. Mm. You know, it's just something to feast your eyes on, he says. Or you'll be anxious about it. It permits you no sleep.
Yeah.
And all these different ways of how money affects us. And the bottom line is, we're just never content. I think it gets really real when he says, naked we come and naked we leave.
Yeah. You
know, that is so true. Like, we spend all our lives trying to accumulate something, accumulate more possessions, more money, more wealth, but then we leave this world with nothing. We can't bring it with us. And so there's this picture here. He's really helping us to see, hey, we need to be content with what we have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so it's really helpful what you're saying there. And it's helpful to look at this stuff. I do just want to go back one step, because one of the things you were highlighting there was, when we look at Ecclesiastes, we get wisdom that's so present now. just to, you know, this is a side point, but just that reality that often people say, oh, the Bible's outdated. It's got nothing for us. And yet when you look at Ecclesiastes, which was written so many thousands of years ago, the same issues are exactly present for us today. And as you're saying, you know, we gain wealth and we just look at it. You know, I was thinking of Jeff Bezos, is that how you say his name, from Amazon? Going to be like the first trillionaire ever. It's like, what do you do with all that money? You know, you're just going to look at it. You can't do enough things with $1 trillion. Mm. But what's going on for Jeff? What's in his heart? I say, like, I know him. What's going on for my boy Jeff? In his heart is what goes on for us in our heart.
That's right.
Because it's not just the big dogs that accrue their money in crazy banks and, you know, what, not crazy banks.
Well, we're all chasing after it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and I think even more so in today's world, like, we're as rich as we'll ever be, you know, and in terms of history too. And I think I read stats, you know, we work 90,000 hours in our lifetime, you know, and all that is to have some security, have some money in the bank, and then to die one day, you know. And we spend so many hours just focused on this thing, accumulating wealth, and it can be so depressing.
Yeah.
When that's all we live for.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And that's exactly what you're saying. When that's what we're living for, when we love money.
Love money, that's right.
Yeah. That's where the problem arises. You know, I'm reminded at this point of Jesus, who so often went after the heart of people who loved money. You know, we have a number of moments in the Gospels where people come to Jesus loving money. You know, we get this message throughout the whole New Testament. You can't love God and love money.
That's right,
And there's this moment in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus speaks and says, don't lay your treasures on earth, lay them up in heaven. You've got that passage for us?
Yeah, I think it's Matthew 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Yeah.
And it's so true. When we love money, then God is he just gets in the way.
Yeah.
We're not thinking about him. And when we love God, then we realize we put money in its right place.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you were saying that too, like, when we love money, we can even use God to get money. You know, there's that sense in which sometimes, you know, you see this with the prosperity gospel.
Yeah, it's so dangerous.
But you also see this in the rest of our life too. Sometimes we still use God. It's just in more subtle ways. You know, we can still be, you know, justifying our spending or our earning or whatever because we're actually loving money. But that, as you're saying, that passage, it gets at the heart of that to say, okay, when we love God and use money, then that puts it in its correct order.
Which is good and fine to do, to have money and to use it.
Yeah.
You know, I think what Ecclesiastes chapter 5 finishes with is comforting.
Yes.
Because he says, God does give someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil. This is a gift of God.
Yeah.
You know, we can enjoy our labors, enjoy the finances that we get from our work, and enjoy, eat, drink, you know, and enjoy the gift that God gives us.
Yeah.
So it's putting money in its right place.
That's
knowing
right.
that it is a gift, but not something to be worshipped, not something that we should feel anxious about as if it's going to fulfill.
Yeah. Well, it's so helpful. I mean, we've talked about this a bit before, but the point of gifts is to point us to the giver.
That's right. To
remind us of that there is a God who stands behind everything that we have.
Mm.
But I do love this bit in Ecclesiastes. I mean, we've seen how this is fulfilled. We want to love God, not money. We want to love God and use money, not love money and use God. But what Ecclesiastes touches on is something that we often forget, because often you can go the opposite direction where you go, okay, God calls me to give my money to him, to lay up treasures in heaven.
Mm.
So that means here on this earth, I'm going to feel guilty about what money I have. I'm going to not enjoy, you know, a hard-earned day and a day where I get to enjoy the end of the day and have a beer or whatever it is. But this writer, this teacher of Ecclesiastes actually says, you know what? It's actually a good thing when people can celebrate the gift in its rightful place.
Yeah. And to know that even though we might go through life, and there'll be times we won't feel like we have enough. Look to God, and we can see that He is enough.
Yeah,
you know, and so that does take away so much of the anxiety, that fleeting nature that makes us anxious. Money is put in its right place, and I think it's good to enjoy, it's good to give, good to lay up treasures in heaven, and good to use for the glory of God.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good. As we get to the end of this passage, I think that is the main challenge from this passage, to make sure that money is put in its rightful place. Only you will be able to judge where money is in your life. As you reflect on your life and what you're doing and what you're pursuing, I just want to ask that question of you. Do you love money and use God, or do you love God and use money? Have a think about how you spend your money. Have a think about what you're working for, and think through all these things. There's also, I guess, a comfort and a challenge here as well, to actually enjoy what you've been given. And so we want to encourage you in that second way. And I'm just going to read verse 19 again. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift from God. I want to encourage gratitude in this moment and thankfulness in what God has given you. If you're able to enjoy your day and what God has given you, celebrate that. Don't feel guilty in that. Celebrate that. And in light of that, lay up treasures in heaven. Thanks heaps for listening today. We hope that this was encouraging for you and you were able to hear God speak through His word. We'd love to encourage you to engage with God now in prayer. Thanks heaps. We'll see you next time.